So you all may be wondering why I'm preaching on the Passover text, as opposed to the other two, which were a little bit easier and maybe a little bit more understandable. But why the Passover, and why this story in this spot at this time? You see, it's about remembering and restoring and renewing. The blood on the doors, it marks a transition. It's a symbolic meal. And if you noticed as I was reading, it's very precise of what you are to do during this meal. And why in the world was it placed in this spot in this time? You see, the Exodus story is going on, and the plagues have been happening, and all of a sudden you hear this story about how to have this meal. What kind of animal to bring forth to kill, how you're to eat the animal, what time you're supposed to. It's very, very precise. So the author of Exodus takes a break from all the plagues and all the story that is happening to tell this story. That's a sign. It's a very important sign that the author takes a break to tell this story. It shows us that it is important. Remembering, restoring, renewing, ritual. This meal becomes a new identity for the community. It's at the very heart of the Passover, the desire to include all in this ritual. You see, the people, God's people, wanted so badly to go back to where they had come from, the things that they knew. It didn't matter that it was awful. They wanted to go back. And God says, no, it's a time for new beginnings. And so the story of community happens. To leave behind the old and to begin again. To anticipate a future in a land that God promised. To arrive at a future, the Passover must happen. To make certain that all have enough. It's a time to celebrate, a time to tell the story, a time of the ritual of the Passover. How it happens is important. It's a day of remembrance for them and for us. It's important to our community of faith. And so, ritual, remembrances. What happens? Why does this story that happens at sounds so harsh to our ears build new beginnings? So, Jeff, what celebrates our story?
A couple days ago, when Mindy asked me to be a part of this dialogue, it reminded me of my pastor, Ron, many years ago, whose favorite line was, "Jeff, I have a wonderful opportunity for you." Those were always words of fear and trepidation, and this is an opportunity, truly. So when I think about what celebrates our story, I think about that this community, our faith story, has been built on this oral tradition. And I have this wonderful image that for centuries and generation upon generation, young children would gather at the feet of their elders, their mothers and fathers, their grandparents, and they would hear the stories. Not just because they were good stories, but because they wanted them to become part of the story, such as the Passover that is been told every year during that Passover season, so that they have a handle. They have a handle to their faith, and then they can be invited into that story, that they too can one day be that elder to share that story. So why do we celebrate our story? Because it not only defines who our God is, but it invites us in and says, you are part of this story. It's an ancient story. But it's a brand new story.
Celebrating our story. So, Jeff, what rituals in the church, in our faith, in your life that bring about new beginnings, new ideas, which is what the Passover did for the folks there, those people. It brought new beginnings, new ideas. So what about us? What rituals do we have or you have?
Well, when I think about every congregation I've been a part of, we have different traditions. And whenever a pastor goes to a new church, you have to learn those traditions and embrace them, because you realize that each congregation thinks their tradition is done the same way everywhere else. And if you miss something that someone didn't share with you, they think, why didn't you do that? It's just because I didn't know. And so that's part of the story, that we have to share those traditions as well. And I think when I look back at my childhood, some of the things that called me to be a part of the church from a very young age, I went to this very small church in Pennsylvania, and our pastor, Mr. Raycroft, he refused to be called Reverend Raycroft because only one person should be called Reverend, and he was Mr. And he was brilliant and wonderful. And even as a 9-year-old, he invited me to become part of the service. So when we have lay liturgists, he invited me to be part of that as well. So not only did I get to put on my little white robe and be an acolyte, we don't do that, and sit in the front row and think, oh, this service is going on forever, I actually got to come up and read a prayer or participate in that life. I remember some of the wonderful traditions of my early childhood. Were Christmas Eve. We would come together at 7 o'clock in the evening, the whole church. We had a pageant, and we did this Christmas story, and it was probably very rudimentary and crude, and the little kids were there. And then we would gather and go out and Christmas carol on Christmas Eve. And it was just a wonderful experience. I think, to me, those traditions of each church that I've been a part of, it's what connects us. It connects us to the past, and it connects us to the future. One place I served was Evangelical United Church of Christ in Portsmouth. For 100 and some years, they had decorated Easter eggs. Someone from Germany came over with this fancy secret recipe, and the inks and the dyes, and people would sit there for hours and do dozens and dozens and dozens of eggs, and your fingers for a week would be purple and green and blue, but they looked like marble at the end of the time. And people would come from that had not been in the church for ages, the children, their grandchildren, they would all come. And that was such a tradition. And what it was a community celebrating where we've come from and where we're going, and we got to tell the stories about what this meant to us. Now, you might say an Easter egg doesn't really say a lot about our faith, but certainly that community, that time together, and the sharing of stories truly is special. I know in my family, whenever we would get back together, what do you do when you come together with families? You tell stories. Remember when this happened, or when that happened? I remember going from Pennsylvania to Illinois on long trips to see my grandparents, and my dad would get so close and say, "See that? That's where the barn used to be. That's where your grandfather used to live." And I said, "There's nothing there." "Well, there used to be there." Or, "We will turn where the school used to be." So, you know, those are those kinds of things. But we would tell those stories and laugh and remember, I'm part of something bigger and something special.
And as we remember the rituals of our own, we remember the ritual of remembrance of baptism. Remember that you are claimed and named by God. That is part of baptism. That's a ritual as part of who we are. Now, is it done the same in every church? No. But it's a ritual about building community like the Passover did. When we gather in just a little bit for communion, it's a ritual. It's a community meal, just like the Passover was a community meal. So we take a break out of everything that surrounds us and all the stress of life. And we take a break and we remember. And we begin again and we are renewed. So learning and sharing and being That's why we have the Passover story. Yeah, it sounds like a strange time to use this story. But it's about remembering and renewing and being reminded of all that God has given to us. So remember your rituals. But remember that we grow from them and new beginnings happen because of the community that is built. It's about expressing hope in a land and a world in which we live. May we remember, be renewed, be reminded, and have new beginnings of the community that God has called us to. Thanks be to God. Amen.